Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine what the Harry Potter series would be like if Harry Potter never discovered he was a wizard. It would kind of be a sad story about child abuse, wouldn't it? Or imagine with me if Michael Jordan never learned to play basketball, or Babe Ruth never learned to play baseball. Imagine how that would have changed our understanding of sports today, and also Looney Tunes. Imagine with me for a moment what would happen if Madame Curie never decided to study science, or if Thomas Edison never decided to invent anything. Our modern world would be very different. Our understanding of radiation would be so far reduced from where it is now, and our technology would still have 30 years before it catches up to where we are. Even like the light bulb, for instance. All these people show that in them, Harry Potter is an exception in some ways, different story, that they put their talents to work and it changed the world. They did something and it radically changed what we experience today. Let's take this idea and run it into the book of the prophet Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah, that was our first reading for today. To get a sense of what's going on, so what's happening right now is the Israelites who were in exile were finally released because Persia rose to power, conquered the Babylonians, and let them go home free. And not only let them go home free, but Nehemiah was put in charge of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. They got to be home. They got to do things again. They got to be their people once again on their homeland. And as they're rebuilding, the priest Ezra was in the temple, cleaning, doing whatever, and found a book. Not just any book, but a book of the law, which we now call Deuteronomy, or the Second Law. With great excitement, he takes this book of the law and shows it to Nehemiah, who then tells him to read it to all the people. And look at how profound this book was for the people. They stood there for 3 hours listening to him read and weeping. That's how profound the law is. Now, we need to take a moment and try and recognize why it was so profound for them to hear the law to the point that they'd be weeping and standing there for 3 hours listening. Well, what had happened was, here they are in exile wondering, what did I do that made God punish me so severely? And by finally hearing the law read again, they recognized what they had done wrong. And they're weeping because they're mourning for what they could have fixed and didn't. They're weeping because they realized how far they'd come from God and what they needed to do to restore it. But how does Ezra respond? He doesn't respond by like, hey, you failed, fix it. No, he says something much more different. He says, rejoice. We should be rejoicing, for today is holy to the Lord. Why is it holy? Because the people finally realized what they needed to do. They had a change of heart to turn to God and let him be their God once again, to restore the land, to restore the traditions, to bring back their faith once again. And so that wasn't a day of weeping, it was a day of rejoicing, because they knew that rejoicing makes God their strength. So let's compare that to our gospel for today. In today's gospel, we have Jesus, who returns to his homeland of Nazareth and does everything like normal, goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and is asked to read. So he reads from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He reads specifically the prophecy about who the Messiah would be, the one who would be, the Spirit would be upon him, the anointed one, the one who would bring freedom to people, the one who would heal, the one who would bring a year of plenty, the year of Jubilee. And so as he proclaims this, he then has all the eyes on him because they know this is the prophecy of the Messiah. The same idea we heard last week in the baptism narrative, where all these people were gathering around John saying, are you the Messiah? Is he coming? When is he going to be here? We want the Messiah. Everyone was in expectation that the Messiah would come. And so were these people. And they're hoping for some encouragement, like the Messiah is coming. And what did Jesus say? This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing today. Namely, he's saying, I am the Messiah. And they go, whoa. And they think for a moment and realize, wait a minute, you can't do that, and run him out of the town. That's the next part of the passage, by the way. But look at what's going on. Jesus has named himself as the Messiah. He's made a point about that, which isn't very exciting for us now that I think about it. We know he's the Messiah. That's not new. Great. So now what? Now comes the second part of today, because the passages are not just about Jesus anymore. Think of it this way. Are we not the people who have had the Spirit come upon us? At our baptism, the priest calls down the Spirit upon us, that in our baptism we may be imbued with the Holy Spirit. Are we not the people who have been anointed? We are anointed at baptism and confirmation and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are also the anointed ones. Are we not grafted into Christ so to become Him to the world? Now this passage takes on a new flavor. For we are also called to do the same things. We are called to be Christ to the world. We are called to use the gifts and talents we have been given by God to transform the world, much like Michael Jordan, or Babe Ruth, or Madame Curie, or Thomas Edison, who use their talents, what God has given them, to transform the world around them. And as St. Paul tells us so eloquently, it's not about me doing everything. We all have our part. We all have that one piece that God specially gave each of us that would then transform the world. And together, with all the parts together, we make the whole. No one part's better than another. No one part gets exalted over the other. We're all in this together. We all need to use our gifts and talents for the service of God. And notice what I didn't say. The gifts are not meant for us. The gifts were always meant for the service of others, that we would constantly be drawing out of ourselves into the world, bringing out our faith, helping people to recognize God through what He has done to us. And so there stands the core of today. We are God's people. We have been imbued with gifts and talents. We have been imbued in a special way with a mission, a goal, to go out into the world and spread this message, to use ourselves for the service of God. Because when we put ourselves at God's service, we recognize something. We recognize who we are, just like the people from Nehemiah did. They recognized that when they heard the law, that's who they are as people. We recognize that as Christian people, baptized and anointed, this is who we are. And what we are called to do is to go out into the world with this message. And once we recognize it and go out into the world, something changes in us. When we put ourselves at God's service, we have a sense of joy that's different than anything else. A sense of joy that makes us rejoice because we see God living Himself out in our daily life. We see how He's working with the people around us. And then we can truly pray as the people did so long ago. In rejoicing, we know that God is our strength. We know that when we proclaim this message, when we go out there, that we see something profound and beautiful. It's all about God now. And God becomes our strength.